When did my mommy decide to favor me over Francisco? Was her decision, which seemed so cold, even cruel, made then at Christmas? Or did she decide later? Or was there another reason for what happened? I had very little warning of the end, the great change. One morning, my mother woke me up earlier than usual. In the pre-dawn darkness when the birds of Juncos were still silent and presumably asleep on their jungle perches. A disturbed rooster gave an angry squawk. Even he felt the great change. Something very big, something fateful, was about to happen. My mother dressed me in an unusual number of layers. She buttoned on an unaccustomed sweater. Then, in the dimness, after I spooned up my special oatmeal custard, my mother presented me with a small suitcase and three shopping bags packed with my dresses, my dolls, and their miniature wardrobe. Then Mommy gave me a surprise, new wardrobe, a heavy sweater, a woolen coat, some long knee socks, and a pair of new thick shoes, all closed up, no place for my toes to poke out as they do from my sandals. Then she announces in a breathless voice, new as the morning shadows, "We are leaving Juncos. We are moving to America." I am very excited at the thought of taking a trip on a ship. The puzzlement is that Francisco isn't going with us. Not yet. But he will come too later. I am taking you first because you are a big girl and you won't cry. The magic trunk, repacked with all the treasures, we'll also take the trip back to New York City, along with several shopping bags, as is the tradition with poor people because they don't have the money to pay for suitcases. The trunk is to be delivered to someone named Titi within a week or so. Titi means aunt, but my mommy explains she is my Titi, but in America she will be your Titi too, because we will stay with her until we find our own place for you and me and Francisco. When he comes, later. When she said later, was she already lying about Francisco? Was she deciding to abandon him then or later? Was this a deception on Mommy's part? The disturbed rooster does not stop squawking. The hens cluck ruffled in their nests. My special chick, Puchito, the one Francisco and I keep in our room, squawks too. And my mother tells me to return the chick to his mother hen. The little yellow fluffball chick always followed me and Francisco. He would sit in our hand and lie hypnotized if we turned him upside down. I don't want to leave my little Puchito. I do so with reluctance. The hen stretches out her wing and tucks him under beside the warmth of her feathered body. What about Paco? Even then, at 5, I sense that my father, Paco, is history, that we are leaving not just Puerto Rico, but also Paco. Paco seemed to be already fading in my memory, as if I always knew somehow that he was not a permanent papi. He disappears almost before my eyes, a thin man with an even thinner gigolo mustache. He is growing fainter. Now I can conjure only two images of my father, Paco José Alberio. In the first, he is standing, leaning back, his thumbs hooked through the belt loops at his waist. He wore his pants high, almost under his armpits, which almost had the effect of making him look even shorter. Yet in this permanent mental snapshot in my mind, my father assumes a pose of confidence for such a slight man who was about to be left behind. The second image is more specific and extraordinary. It is a true glimpse through the chink of memory. A crack below the outhouse door. Behind the ice cream house is the outhouse, once also painted in ice cream colors, but by that time weathered clapboard with only hints of pink and a previous paint color, blue. There are boards missing, and one major crack on the bottom of the door where the wood doesn't meet the earth. I am peering through this space to stare up at my father. I want to see what makes a man different from me. I lie on the ground and peek into the outhouse shadows. I see Paco. He is standing in that patient pose men assume to pee. My papi has something between his legs. a confusing, dark apparatus, a mystery mass that dangles there. There is only so long I can lie like this, gazing at this, while I inhale the odors of the outhouse. I bolt upright to catch my breath and carry away only this murky memory of the dangling shadow and the bulging mass. It is more confusing than anything else, and I know it is forbidden. This glimpse does little to satisfy my curiosity. It only adds to it. It seems that Paco José Alberio's main role in my life was to disappear and be forgotten. 13 years later, my father would make one last startling comeback appearance, but his surprise return occurred when I was already far removed from my life in Puerto Rico, already an ingenue in movies. The meeting was so unexpected that I reacted reflexively. I will forever regret what occurred between us at that time. When I left Puerto Rico, such a future reunion was unimaginable. My mother and I had emigrated not just from Puerto Rico, but from the past and from so many people I loved. Leaving Paco seemed acceptable under the circumstances, but my brother? What about Francisco? We can't leave Francisco. I cried as Mommy kept repeating, Francisco can't come to America this trip. In answer to my pleas that my baby brother come too, Francisco, Francisco, became my chant. Francisco too. I could not imagine my life without him, my soft, butter-skinned baby brother. I had been the big sister, holding him when Mommy was sewing and Fela was cooking. I showed him how to dig in the yard with his small shovel and chase the chickens. Together we watched the eggs hatch and had been raising the fluffball yellow chick Puchito. What will happen to our coquis? Who will raise them with Francisco? He needs me. The chicken and the frogs need me, and I need him. Francisco, too, I repeat. Francisco must come, too. Later, later, my mommy tells me. He's too small now, and he would cry. When we are settled in our own place and he's a little bigger, then Francisco will come. The impact of leaving my grandparents, my baby brother, my father, my home, my birthplace, my chicken, did not strike me until much later. At our pre-dawn departure, I remember standing on a dusty road with Justino and Fela, who was holding Francisco. Justino and Fela would see us off on the journey and care for Francisco for what I imagined would be a brief interval. While we stood there, waiting for a hired jalopy truck to San Juan, dawn broke over the jungle, over the ice cream houses. All the forest awakened. A sudden tropical rain fell like a theatrical scrim. All silver shimmer, no real impact. We were barely dampened. Then an old truck rattled to our stop, and we all climbed on. I looked back as long as I could, back at Juncos, through the shimmer of rain. The colors softened like pastels, and that final image of home became less than a memory, more a half-remembered dream.